Made and true with thanksgiving. Amen. I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's right. Sanctuary. You got your Bibles tonight, turn to Revelation 22, read one verse. I told Brother Boyd I needed some time. Y'all sang more than you sang in 10 weeks. Well, need time for the Word. Revelation 22:20. Keep us in your prayers. We'll be leaving, Lord willing, Saturday morning, going to Oklahoma. The next weekend we'll be in Brother Tim Calhoun's church with them, and then this thing okay? The next weekend, Lord willing, we'll be in Erie, Pennsylvania. So keep us in your prayers. We'll be traveling a lot. So well, if they call, we answer. You know? Revelations 22:20. You can thank Sister Gail tonight if this gets boring, because this is what she wanted to do. We went through this in Sunday school class and it took us about 10 weeks. We're going to do it in an hour and 20 minutes. So we're going to fly. But I have given you cheat sheets. You can go home and read the quotes. I'll give you the quote numbers and the page numbers so you can go home and read them. Revelations 22:20. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we ask you tonight that you just be with us. Lord, thank you for saving our soul, Lord, and giving us an eternal life. Just settle us down now, Lord, and you speak to the people and give them what they need, Lord. Just use this vessel, Lord, one more time, please, Father, because we're worth nothing. We're only here for you, Father, nothing else, not to be seen or not to be heard, but to hear from you. Father, forgive us of our sins, Lord. You said you sent your word and healed the people and delivered them from destruction. So, Lord, as the word goes forth, may you help each one, Lord. Open our eyes that we may see, Lord, and our ears that we may hear. In this late hour, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Revelation 22:20. He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Brother Ryan, if you would, give everybody one of those, and one of those, and one of those. You don't mind. Now what he's passing out is, Sister Gail, since we're talking on times, not exactly times and dates and seasons, but, you know, Brother Dale's been talking about a millennium. He's talking about a future home. He's talking about Daniel 70 weeks. So tonight, we're going to go from Adam to the future home. We're going to keep your Bibles open because we're going to turn to Scripture. I've got them. Never mind. So if you look on your chart and see, I have one of the old ones. Save me one of the charts. I need it. I thought I had one here. But as we go through this, I want you to look and see how perfect that the Word of God is, which we know that. But we're going to look in the Bible and the prophet's message, and we're going to see how perfect this really fits together. We're going to read some quotes, which is the quotes that I give you. If I do not read them all, you've got them all numbered from 1 to about 15, from the fall to the white throne. Now, I left the future home out because you ought to just read the book. The future home with a heavenly bridegroom and earthly bride, and you will get the end of the story. But we're going to start tonight with Adam and Eve. And we're going to go to the future home. Now, if you look at your chart, you'll see that we started with Adam and Eve in the fall. Turn to Genesis 2. If we don't get finished, we'll finish another time, but this is important for you to see also if you've got your charts of your Daniel 70 weeks. which one you don't have enough of. Number 9, I didn't make but 30, so maybe have to make some more of the one from the wedding supper and then the following. How about, Brother Ryan, you got the chart? I need one. Actually, whoever you give first has got the original, but that's okay. But now, you want to see and look at me for a minute. These lines that are broken, that's going to be eternal life. Now, you say you've got it down here at the bottom. Well, I had to differentiate between the top, that middle line is time as we know it. If you'll read out there at the side, it says the world as we know it, which is the first three dimensions, 1, 2, and 3. Everybody got that? Now, listen, if I get too fast, stop me, raise your hand. Sister Gail, don't worry, ask questions. But that's okay. I mean, we need to know these things. Because you know what? It gives us information, and being informed keeps you from being scared. Because fear hurts you and stops you and keeps you from getting things from God. The fear of the devil, not the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the Bible says. So now, all right, everybody got that? You got yours? Take one for you. All right, now. All right. So we're going to start here at creation. We're going to start in Genesis 2 and 16. And look what God says to Adam. I know this is going to be old hat to some of you, but for some of you that have not been through it, just hang on. You may get something out of it. I've never been bored with reading the Word of God, have you? And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. See, he left that open. You may eat freely. And that's even the tree of life. Okay? But there was one tree that you do not eat of. Thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, if you want to put down also on the paper, you can write on these if you want to. We got plenty of copies. Put 2 Peter 3 and 8 and Psalms 90 and 4, where the Bible says 1,000 years is a day, and a day is 1,000 years. 2 Peter 3, 8, Psalms 90 and 4. Because that's going to take us over to the millennium, where we live 1,000 years to take care of this scripture right here. Has everybody got that? That's what the millennium is going to do. It's going to take care of this scripture, Genesis 2, 16, 17, because they did eat, but they didn't die that day. Adam and Eve did not die the day, literal 24-hour period day, that they ate or did what they did in the garden. When I say ate, you know what I'm talking about. But thou shalt eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. All right, and then if 1,000 years is a day, and a day is 1,000 years, like Brother Dale said, if you look on over a little bit further in the chronology, Methuselah lived 969 years. Actually, Adam even lived 920-some-odd years, I think it was. He lived 130 years and begot Seth. The days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years. So he was 130 when he begot Seth, so he was 930. He was 930 years old and he died. So he lived almost 1,000 years, but if you'll look in Genesis 5:27, and all the days of Methuselah were 969 years. If you'll keep these, you'll see a very wonderful picture of redemption. And that's what we're talking about tonight, is redemption. This is just not letters on a page. This is showing how God, because Adam and Eve were standing in the Garden of Eden, their youth is being renewed, and somewhere, had they not been a fall, somewhere along the way they would have been made eternal. We would have all come forth from Adam and Eve through the spoken word, and we would have all come here, and there would have not been any of this. But you know what? This was in God's mind. This was the plan of God, Brother David, and it had to be experienced. It had to be let out because this made him a savior, a redeemer, a healer, a sacrifice. All those things, God let himself out, the prophet said. And he dropped from eternal life down into time. All right, now, Genesis 2, 16, 17, then in Luke 3, 38, you don't have to turn there, I can pretty much quote it, it gives you the lineage of Adam, and it said Adam was a son of God. So therefore, you take your, and look in your quotes, under the breach, in 1963, the reason I did this is how many quotes I got. So you can look them up yourself. We can save a lot of time if you do that. Under the breach, Brother Branham said, now the forfeited title deed is now in the hands of the original owner, Almighty God. The title deed to earth and to eternal life, when Adam forfeited it, then Satan's dirty hands could not take it, so it went back to the original owner, God himself. We're going to find it in just a minute. Then he sits on the throne with it in his hand, the title deed. Oh, that makes me feel religious. The title deed to eternal life, abstract title deed to eternal life, when Adam forfeited it for wisdom instead of faith, it went back to the owner, Almighty God. Now, he did not lose it in his soul. Everybody got that? He did not, because if you'll look at your next one, blasphemous names, Brother Dale quotes it a lot, page 28, paragraph 3 and 5. So then you say, Adam died, Brother Branham, but remember, before Adam died, he had a lamb that redeemed him. Hallelujah. Those he foreknew he called, he had a lamb to redeem him. He was a type. Adam fell. Then the lamb was provided for Adam because already in his nostrils had become the breath of the eternal God and he become a living soul. He was a son of God, not his breath, as Africans say, Amoya, which is just the wind blowing in and out. Then he said in paragraph 5, he says, then why would we struggle for eternal life if that's the eternal soul breathed into us by breath? In other words, if I breathe on Brother Dick, my eternal life doesn't go in and out. God's not like a floating blob like we've already discussed, and we see that God is a person, so the Holy Ghost is the same person of God, and it's not a floating spirit, it's not smoke, it's not something like that. He is a person. When he comes to you at the new birth, the Holy Ghost is a person that brings you eternal life, and we'll get to that in a minute. But listen to what the prophet said. But God specially, upon Adam, breathed the breath of eternal life, and he became an eternal person with God. He had power like God. He was an amateur God. He was God of the earth, not God of heaven, God of the earth. And someday the sons of God will again become gods. Now that's what we're looking on a little bit further on over into the story. This is a parable. This is a long, complicated story with an underlying meaning. You're going to see that you do just like Adam, you fall, and you know you go through every bit of this yourself on your journey, on your Christian journey. All right, now, Adam and Eve has failed now, Genesis 3, 1 through 20. I don't have to go through that, do I? Genesis 3, 1 through 20, you know what happened. You know the story. God said, though, he said, I'll put enmity, Genesis 3, 15, if you'll see that right there, that's when Jesus was promised, and that's when, if you'll drop down that line, you'll see the birth of Jesus in Luke 2:7. God promised in Genesis 3:15 he would send himself in the form of a son. All right, now, when Adam and Eve fell, that brought time into being. All right, days and times and seasons and all that, okay? Or the world as we know it. If you'll look here, you'll see the fall, creation, then down goes the fall to the timeline. Now that's your timeline right there in the middle with the little dots. I mean the little periods out across through there. The very middle one is a timeline. But if you'll look out at the very end of the page, you'll see what it goes back to. It goes back to eternity, all in all. So that's where we're heading to. But the world as we know it, which is 1, 2, and 3 dimensions. Now, Abel died, the first recorded death in Genesis 4:8. Cain slew Abel, right? Now, Abel goes down into a place called paradise. Now, we'll get that in a minute in Luke 16:22. But paradise was called the bosom of Abraham. Alright? If you'll look in Luke 16:22 and Luke 23:43, I've already got these things wrote down. You can just take and study them yourself. That is where the rich young ruler died, and Lazarus died, and he looked across and he saw Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham, or paradise. Now, do I need to read the dimensions? Yeah, I may as well read the dimensions to you, because that's the next one. Brother Branham, on the present stage of my ministry, let's get the dimensions out of the way, because God had to set up these dimensions to put these people in, which is 1, 2, 3, which is the one that you and I live in now. Life, light, and matter. You kids ought to know that. Fourth dimension is sound waves, TV, radio, cell phones, all that's going through here. Billions of voices right now in the fourth dimension that man has tapped into. And Brother Branham said demons travel in the fourth dimension, and they come out through television tubes. All right, present stage of my ministry, 62908. Now, when we come along, we remember that we live here in three dimensions, and I don't know whether I can name them or not. One of them is light. The other one is matter. Tommy, you remember what the third one is, atom, time, right? Anyway, it's light, life, and matter, or light, matter, and time. And our five senses contact these dimensions, 1, 2, and 3, because the fourth dimension we can't contact unless we have a television or a radio or a cell phone. Okay? Now, but we have contact through science, the fourth dimension as it was, because coming right through this building now comes pictures, voices of radio, pictures on television that our senses cannot contact. So that's the fourth dimension. And that's kind of, I didn't put the fourth dimension anywhere because it just kind of waves all over all of it. Okay, it can't go to heaven, but it stays right down here on earth. All right? But now listen. Still on present stage of my ministry, same one. Said, now that's the fourth dimension. Now the fifth dimension is where the sinner, the unbeliever, dies and goes to. Now look at the very bottom of your page. Those who turn God down are those who turn down the atonement for their day. All right? Bulls and goats. All right? That animal blood, not God's blood yet. Animal blood. Got it? Look right there where it says time in the middle. It says blood of animals covered sin. We don't need to go through the Old Testament and tell you what all means, because you know, you should know what that means. But the fifth dimension was set up for the sinner dead or the lost, where the sinner, the unbeliever, dies and goes to. The fifth dimension is kind of, well, the horrible dimension. And when a Christian dies, he goes into the sixth dimension. Now, if you look, the sixth dimension is over here, because paradise has to be emptied out of the Old Testament saints. And I'll read you a quote in a few minutes, where Brother Branham said that the people that died before Calvary could not go into the presence of God under bulls and goats blood. Okay? So now, we may be going too fast, but we're going to get through this thing. And when a Christian dies, he goes into the sixth dimension, and God is in the seventh. You remember Brother Branham going across the curtain of time? He went to the sixth dimension. He said, "Where's Jesus? I want to see him." Well, what did the angel say? He's higher up. You can't see him now. What? He's in the seventh dimension. All right? So there's your dimensions. 1, 2, and 3 we live in now. 4 is radio waves. 5 is where the sinner dead goes. 6 is where the born-again Christian believers go. Now, you got that? Only, not foolish virgin. Born-again believers, Brother Branham said, goes into the sixth dimension, and then the fifth dimension is the sinner dead, and then the seventh is God himself, which to me is right up here in this line where I've got it, eternal life. So that's where he's at. Sure, the ones in the sixth dimension, born again dead, but they're not in their right to be conditioned, remember. But that seventh dimension where God is, he is in his right to be conditioned, because he has his body, his flesh body. He's immortal. Seventh dimension is immortal. That's the reason Brother Branham and all those people in the sixth dimension couldn't see Jesus Christ, because they were not in their right to be state. They got to come back here to get their bodies. Right? All right, we'll get to that in just a second. So now we got paradise, Luke 16:22 and Luke 23:43. And remember, that's where Samuel came up. Witch of Endor brought Samuel out of paradise, but Brother Branham said she could not have brought him out of the sixth dimension. If you contact anybody in any dimension now, the prophet said, that person's lost. Right? If you hear from your uncle and see him walking through the house, he's not in the sixth dimension. He's in the fifth dimension. Right? Got that? That's where the sinner dead is. But now the blood of animals only covered sin and pushed it to Calvary. So there's paradise. Now let's read paradise, questions and answers, conduct, order, and doctrine. Now there was a time that the people didn't go into the presence of God when they died, the justified. That was in the Old Testament. They went into a place called paradise. And there the souls of the just waited in paradise. But paradise was the place where God kept the souls in a dreamland until the blood of Jesus Christ was shed. For the blood of bulls and goats would not take away sin. It only covered up sin. But Jesus' blood takes away sin. You notice when he died at Calvary and on his return, he brought out from the grave those dead saints that had died under the atonement of blood of bulls and goats and heifers. They entered into the city. I'll stop right there because we'll get to that in a second. Because remember, they all came up at the resurrection. Paradise emptied out at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So now we go to the birth of Jesus. Got it right here. Birth of Jesus, Luke 2:7. He preaches. Remember, he was born BC 4. Right? Around BC 4 to AD 30. That's 33 and a half years. He was born in April, died in April. Now, I got a scripture. Luke 3:23 says that he was becoming 30 years old when he went to the River Jordan. Got it? So that gives you your 3.5 years from April to April. If he was born in April and crucified in April, how could he preach 3.5 years? Unless he was 6 months before that. Because you don't give the boy your car keys. You didn't give Zachary car keys and tell him, you know, see you Saturday night, you know. No. He had to have a training period. Right? So the priest, I would say, when they turned 30 years old, they just didn't throw them in the temple. You'd have had a lot of dead priests. They had to be trained. Jesus, at 29 and a half, he walks into Jordan, he starts his ministry. 6 months before, and then you got the 3 years and a half, and that gives you your 3.5 year ministry. Died in April, born in April, and still gives you a 3.5 year ministry. Everybody got that? Right. All right? And that's your first 3.5 years on your Daniel 70 weeks chart. They are the first 3.5 years of Jesus Christ's ministry. Everybody enjoying the Daniel 70 weeks? I sure am. Sure has put a lot more light. Now, in Luke 23:46, let's go to there. We got to take care of something. I stayed in the book of Luke to keep us from having to go back and forth. But there was some, like Matthew, how the Gospels are. They don't cover everything. You have to jump through. But I tried to stay in the book of Luke because I like the book of Luke. Because he's kind of a matter of fact. He brings it. John's prophetic, you know how all that goes, but Luke's more of the physician. He tells it as it is. Luke 23:46. Right here we are at Calvary. He's paying the sin debt. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. You know how I believe that? He gave up the ghost. You see what the Bible says? And having said this, he gave up the ghost. He willingly died. He didn't die of the four nails. Or three nails. Brother David, he didn't die of the spear. He was already dead. He gave up the ghost. In other words, God gave his life a ransom. And then he had some work to do. Luke 23:42. Now let's look at a situation here. This is the thief on the cross. Verse 41. Luke 23:41, start right there. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. This is the thief on the cross. Now what does he say? And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Now listen to what Jesus said. Exactly correct. He didn't say, verily, verily, I say unto you today, you'll be with me in the sixth dimension. He said, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Have you ever thought about the thief on the cross? He died on Friday, and he rose on Sunday. His body, of course, we know he didn't pick up his natural body because that's, you know, you can't do that yet. But he didn't stay in that paradise very long. Like Brother Branham said, they made a whistle stop through and come on up. But that's what I'm showing here. Look, Luke 23:46, Matthew 27:50, if you want to read, it's the same account. Luke 23:42-43. He promises that he's going to be in paradise. He drops off the thief on the cross, because remember, Jesus died before the thief did. Remember, they had to break the thief's legs. But Jesus was already dead. That's why I say he gave up the ghost. If he didn't give it up, he would have still been alive. Crucifixion sometimes takes 2 to 3 days, they said, to kill you. And they broke the thief's legs so it would asphyxiate them and stop their breathing. All right? Bible's right, you know that. This message is right too. Brother Branham went through it step by step. All right, he comes down through paradise. He drops off the thief at the cross, and he's got a job to do. 1 Peter 3. This is very important, because this ties in. Brother Branham said that this was Jesus' third pull. Is that right? Brother Dean, isn't that what he said? This is Jesus' third pull. All right, 1 Peter 3. Excuse me. 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh. See, in the flesh. We only die in the flesh. We only die one time, and that's to ourselves here on earth if we're a born-again believer. We just fall asleep. Right? But quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Now, who were they? Which sometime were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. How many years? 120 years. While the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved. So Jesus had to go down and preach to the ones who turned God down. He went down and said, I'm the one Noah told you about. In his theophany, he went down there. All right? Now, so we'll go to that, to the souls in prison. If you look on your part there, we'll see. God being misunderstood, 1961:7-23. Listen to what he says. His soul descended into hell and preached to the spirits, or souls, that repented not in the long suffering in the days of Noah. His soul did descend into hell, and he preached to spirits and rose on the third day. That is scripturally the truth. Now let's read souls in prison, 1963:11-10. He went and preached to souls that were in prison, which is hell, locked up until the day of judgment, because you see the judgment isn't now. And there's no burning hell now. Does everybody know that? There's not a burning hell going on right now. The lake of fire is what burns. Alright, got that? See? That's wrong. Somebody tell you a guy's in hell burning now, that's wrong. See? A judge of this earth is just enough to never condemn a man until he's brought to trial. And God will never throw a man into the fiery furnace until first he is condemned by God's own law. He rejected mercy, so you see, he first has to have a trial, and the trial is the great white throne judgment. But now he's in a place called the prison house. So there you got the prison house. Those who turned God down. Now, it didn't do a thing for them. It just gave them a witness. They stay in that fifth dimension. Look, when Cain died, he's way over here. He's going to be dead until the second resurrection. Long time to be in suspended animation, like Brother Brown said. Feel like you're falling, like a nightmare. I'm telling you, church, don't miss the rapture. You miss a rapture, you're in bad shape. Bad shape, people. Come on, kids. Everybody, you think you have fun? You wait till you get to a place, Brother Branham said, and I'm not reading it for time, where he said that it was a nightmare that you can't wake up from. You're caught between heaven and hell. You can't do anything but fall and scream because God is not there. And you know what? There's nothing you can do about it. You're trapped in here until that second resurrection where Brother Branham said you'll be judged at the white throne judgment whether you turn God down or whether you accepted God. But these people in paradise, they accepted. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they all accepted the atonement. Now, they're not the only ones in paradise. There was a lot more people in paradise. All the Old Testament saints right here. But when Jesus died, and when he died at Calvary, he come down and preached to the souls in prison. That's what Brother Branham said the third pull would be to. The bride, the church nominal, and to the totally lost. That's what I'm telling you people about the way you dress and the way you do. You just keep right on doing the same thing and you don't care. You may be sealing yourself off, but there's nothing we can do about it. I can't do anything but tell you what to do, and if you don't do it, then it's left up to you. It's in your hands now, not mine. Paul said, you'll be judged by my gospel, and I say you'll be judged by this gospel. Alright? So, that's enough said about that. But Jesus preached to the ones who turned God down. Told them, I'm the one. Alright? He comes back up, and right there where that dot's at, let's go to Matthew 28. There's a funny script. It's not funny, but it's a scripture you got to watch, because it's got a twofold... It didn't happen when it looks like it happened. Okay? Let's go to Matthew. Everybody okay? Am I haven't run off and left you yet? This is what I like to do. I'd rather do this and preach. I'd just like to sit here and just teach. All right, so he comes back. And he's coming back up. Matthew, let's go to Matthew 27:51. Now look, in verse 50, he yielded up the ghost. Now when Jesus died, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Now, see that little, whatever that thing is right there? That doesn't mean that happened, the next thing happened right then. Because the graves were open and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. That didn't happen at Calvary. That happened at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not at the crucifixion, at the resurrection. Alright, got that? Alright, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Now there's paradise being emptied out, but not at Calvary. Everybody got that? That is at the resurrection of Jesus. See, and come out of the graves after his resurrection. That shows you right there. See, verse 53 answers the whole thing. See, it says, and came out of the grave after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. All right, that's Matthew 27. Now, Matthew 28:1 is the resurrection, and behold, there was a great earthquake. All right, there you go. Now, for the angel of the Lord descended, and came, and rolled back the stone, and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow, and says, he is risen. He's already come out. So there he is. He comes up. He comes out of the tomb. We've got the resurrection now. Jesus Christ has come up. And look what he's done. He didn't bring these people. This dot just shows you that Jesus is coming back up out of the fifth dimension. He's not bringing anybody with him. These people that stay down here in this solid line, that's why I made it a solid line. Because they stay there. All right? He comes up. Because he's the very soul of God. He's eternal. He can move any... Remember, he from 1 through 7 dimensions, he owns them anyway. So he can move up and down any way he wants to. So he comes back up. Sixth dimension now after that. But he comes up. He brings the dead saints from paradise. Brings them all up. Paradise is emptied out. He comes up, Matthew 27:51, like I just said. And then the resurrection happens. And... Now, let's read. In God perfecting His church, now this is kind of getting ahead, but it'll back up on it, okay? After 40 days and nights visit the earth, they heard Him say, someday we're returning back, hallelujah. Because what happened is now, is Jesus was seen, if you'll look real quick over in Acts 1, Acts 1 and 3. Because I put that in there, but I had to watch my time. Brother Joseph said he's going to clean this up and make a new one, so you can scribble on these. He'll make us one that we can see real good. Thank God for Brother Joseph and what he can do on a computer. But Jesus is alive for 40 days, walking on the earth. Remember, he comes into the disciples. He walks through the wall. He eats. He's in his glorified body. But in Acts 1 and 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So Jesus walked on the earth with the dead saints from paradise, walked around for about 40 days in the city. Remember Brother Branham, he makes the comment about how did Abraham and Sarah says, we better move out of here because, you know, they may notice us. They may recognize us. All right. Someday we'll return back. Hallelujah. Then when Jesus was taken up, glory to God, I can see him when he rises on Easter morning, goes up after his ascension, and the saints went with him. The Bible said he led captivity captive, give gifts unto men. All right. I can see him now as he goes on past the morning stars, past the moon. Now we're over into the resurrection, 40 days. Now we're going to the ascension, which is Acts 1. Acts 1, if you look on there, it says Acts 1, 3 through 11. That explains the ascension. All right, he tells them they'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come. Verse 9, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud, received him out of their sight. And read verse 10 and 11. And while they looked steadfast toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go to heaven. So he's coming back the same way he left. But he's coming in you and I. Because it's the Son of Man. Alright, faith of Abraham, 55:11-18. That's the next one, right? Yep, okay. Then after 40 days, on the day of the ascension, he rose up. And when he went on up and above the moon, stars, the Old Testament saints was with him. I can see him pass all the moon, the stars, on and on, higher, higher. Directly he comes to the great city. I can hear all the Old Testament say, lift up ye everlasting gates. If you look at it, that's over in the Old Testament. And be ye lifted up and let the King of Glory come in. I can hear the angels sing from back over there. Who is this King of Glory? They said, the Lord of hosts, mighty in battle, that's him, God, Jehovah Jireh. So, God ascended back up to heaven. Sister Gail, you got it so far? Okay. Alright. Acts 1, 3 through 11, he ascends. He goes back up. He said, I come from God, and I go back to God. So that's where he's at now. He's back to God. He's back to the pillar of fire that he was before. Because if you'll notice my little dot, dot, dots, when God comes down, we don't leave eternal life up here. That little dot goes all the way around, if you'll follow it. Because the Holy Ghost is in all the ages, and that is eternal life. Eternal life hadn't left this earth, church. It's been here the whole time. All right? So eternal life's not something out yonder, right, Brother Dean? It's something that is ever present. It's been with us the whole time. All right? So now he goes up to heaven, or he goes up the seventh dimension. He is in now body, spirit, and soul, eternal, immortal, the only immortal. All right? Book of James and all those we've been going through. Timothy and all that. Brother Dale's preached it all the way through. All right, now that was 40 days. He rose from the grave. He stayed 30, 40 days. The Bible says 40 days. Then he tells them, to wait, if you look in Acts 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. I'm glad he put that because that's where we're at. We're in the uttermost parts. So the 10 days, you can't receive a new birth at a 40. It's got to be a 50. Because 50 is what? Jubilee. That's the Pentecost. 49, you got 49, you got a trumpet sound. Then the 50, we go free. Well, those 120 got free. If you read, you know they got free. Acts 2, verse 1. They got free. But now remember, the Bible says Stephen was the first one to die for this Holy Ghost plan. So after Pentecost, Acts 2, verse 1, the sixth dimension started filling up with Stephen, Paul, Peter, James, John, all those. They're standing now, starting this first church age here. Now, if you'll look in the, on your Daniel 70 weeks, you can just about go along with all this. But starting down here in the first age, when the Holy Ghost fell, the new birth, come back on the day of Pentecost, Brother Brown said, the very soul of God, right here, let's read this, Israel in Egypt, 53:325. Now here he comes, torn, riven, torn to pieces. His soul went to God. God blessed him, and when his soul returned back in the form of the baptism of the Holy Ghost that comes into every believer to sanctify, clean up the mind, clean up the heart, and leave a portion of the Holy Ghost in there, here and there, and when the Holy Ghost is given out, that same Holy Spirit that brought the body of Jesus out of the grave will rapture. Alright? So now you got a key. Everybody that received the Holy Ghost or new birth from the day of Pentecost till now is going to be in the rapture because the quickening power that raised up Jesus from the dead, if that same Spirit dwells in you, Romans 8, something, somewhere in Romans 8, somewhere in the first part of Romans 8 or somewhere in there, it says the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead will raise you up. Right? So the new birth then is the most important thing because you know what? If you get the new birth, you get a free ride. Because what you're going to do is you're going to go into rapture and you're going to come above all this. You remember Brother Branham saying that the Gentile bride of Joseph, remember she was out of the palace. There's no Gentile bride that ever went through a tribulation. Every time something would come up in a type, that bride would be out of the way. Something would happen. We accept the blood of Jesus Christ all through. If you'll read, we've got to hurry. If you'll read Revelations 1, 2, and 3, you know that's the church ages. All right? That's your church ages. From Ephesus to Laodicea. Got it? All right? Stop and rest just a second. There's your church ages. See it right there? The new birth fell on the day of Pentecost. I read it there. I won't read another one. But you can read Pentecost or 50. Israel in Egypt. I just read it. Our faith or why we're not a denomination. All right? That'll give you... Let me just read this one. Faith. 1957:12-29. But when God came in the form of the Holy Ghost and baptized every one of that group with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire, it was then that they could go out into the streets. See? They were, in other words, they were cowards before then. Now they could go out in the street. All right? Why we're not a denomination, 1958. Now you stop. Find that all through these church ages here, pulling out the Holy Spirit. Watch this, Brother David. The Holy Spirit speaking out how those gifts would work in the last days. Now, we got gifts, works, and all that. Well, brother, there's other gifts. That's just one of them. That's just a little minor thing. Well, here's a far greater gift right here. Which would be the best? The gift of the Holy Ghost of wisdom to put the Word of God together to show the church where we're standing than just to get somebody healed. Well, we want to be well, but I'd rather have my soul well than my body well. All right? Oh my, I hear the Holy Spirit speaking through John on Patmos. And then he goes through and says that Martin Luther, God poured a little spirit in the church. Then come Methodists, sanctified. They come become a little less in the minor. Then come Pentecost and says, now, what's he doing? He's filling his church. Now we're up to this age. We have the fully restored Word. That's why we can stand here and do this. Paul could not do this. Church, look, the great apostle Paul, as great as he wrote the Bible, and I'm not making nothing out of myself, because Brother Branham did all this. I didn't do it. Paul could not explain this like we're explaining it tonight. Paul, that wrote the Bible, Brother Donnie, could not explain this like I'm explaining it tonight. He couldn't. That's why we have the fully restored Word. Sure, he had a lot of things to go on, but we got the end of the story. We've got the fully restored Word. We don't have just a dip. We've got the full anointing of the Word. All right? So now, Now we know this has happened. From right here back, this has exactly happened. Is that right? Church history tells us, the Bible tells us, the prophet tells us, the Lord Jesus tells us, and we see it happening because we're in that seventh age. But remember, we're called out of the ages. We're in a bright age. That's why I still got the dot, dot, dots right there. That's eternal life. That's you and I that have been called up out of that age, see? We're not in time anymore. We were in time when we were not born again. We're not in time now. All right? We're in eternity. So there we are, right up above that little line. See, I got bride. Dot, dot, dot. That's all. That's 2,000 years of church ages right there. Don't get messed up with the way they're, you know, I tried to gap them the way I could. Because Jesus' 40 days don't look like our 40 days, you know, as far as on this timeline. But forget about that. Just get the story. Get the underlying meaning. All right? So now we've come to the end, and we've got to pretend that we're ready for a rapture, which we're ready. I believe that. But I mean, we got to pretend that today, the dead in Christ are going to rise. All right? 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Turn there. First Thessalonians 4:16. Now this is a promise. I'm not going to read the rest of it first. I'm going to read this part first. For the Lord himself shall descend, because remember, the dead in Christ rise first. The dead is called out of the ground before we are changed. That's what the Bible says. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Look at the next verse. Then, we which are alive and remain, those of us that's made it, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them. That's the rapture. Got it? All right? Verse 16's not. That's the first resurrection. Now, when I mean first resurrection, I mean the first resurrection that the Bible says. Because it says don't be caught in the second, be caught in the first. Alright? Because really the first resurrection was Jesus resurrecting. Got it? And then the dead saints resurrecting. Then we resurrect, or the dead saints out of the sixth dimension. Then we got one for the Jews. Then you got one that's called the second resurrection way over here, which is four or five resurrections. But you got to look at two very important ones. The first and the second. Because blessed is he who takes part in the first resurrection, in which the second has no hold or because that second resurrection, if you resurrect in that second resurrection, you don't have eternal life. You might have a hope of having it, but you don't have eternal life. Alright? So here we are. We're at the first resurrection right here. Now look, that's where sixth dimension ends. Alright? Right there, look in your chart. Sixth dimension, born again, dead. Now remember, I didn't draw it, but all down through this time, everybody that's died a sinner is still going, they're dumping into that fifth dimension. Got it? They can't go anywhere. They don't have a hope of moving. Except being in that dreamlike state Cain has for 6,000 years. Alright? But remember, we gotta live 1,000 years to take care of, Genesis 2:16-17. So we haven't gotten to that yet, but we'll get to it. We got time. We got 30 minutes. We're okay. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, dead in Christ shall rise first. All right? Everybody got that? We've got to get them out of the ground. Now listen, and I did not know this was on a tape, but it's the condolences to the Stadsclev family, 1960-09-24. I don't think there's a book out on it. But it is in your... I've got it right here, so you can look it up on your Folio Views 99. All right, this is page E17. You'll see all the pages there. Then them which are asleep shall not prevent those which are awake at the coming of the Lord. He must be explaining something to the family of somebody that died. All right, because he's giving a condolence to the Stadsclev family. For the trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, have you ever wondered why there'll be a space of time in there? Well, you're going to understand why. And we'll be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. You notice the order of the resurrection. We which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord, 2 Thessalonians, I believe, 5, which is first, shall not prevent or hinder those that are asleep. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And notice the next. Then, I just went through that, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. See, we meet them first. All right, Sister Gail? We meet the dead saints first. Have you ever wondered why? Here's the answer. Now, I wonder how God in His great mercy, when He'd be worshipped perfectly there, and when He knew that, He knew that if we got there first to worship Him, then we'll go to looking around wondering where the baby is, where mother is, or where this one or that one. But you see, He lets us meet one another first. So when we go to worship before the Lord on that day, she'll be with you. Amen. Praise God for that. What a... Church, even if we die or fall asleep, so what? We get up first and you get to see us first. Y'all first. I'm going to be in the group of the rapture, okay? Hey, if you can't believe it for yourself, you better believe it for somebody. Listen, 10 virgins. This is the next one. Is that right? Okay. It'll be a secret coming. No one will know when it's going to happen. We're commanded to be ready and watching. That's what Brother Dale's been talking about. All the calendar changes and all the dates and times. The only thing Gentiles is as a Gentile, the only thing we are promised is that two will be in the bed, one will go, one will stay. Now that don't mean you and your wife laying in the bed and one of you's got to go and one's got to stay. That means somebody's walked with you in life. Because it's out in the field, it's out here, it's out there. One will leave and one will stay. That's the only thing Gentiles are promised, is that one will stay and one will leave. Alright? Who's that? We're commanded to be ready and watching. We don't know what hour. But whatever it is will not prevent any of these back in here. For just as soon as Jesus appears, the whole watch rises. Dead or alive, doesn't matter. Now remember, this is not Jesus physically appearing. He's talking about Jesus appearing in the bride. We don't meet Him first, we meet one another first. And then He explains that. Something will take place, the gospel something will sound, the announcing of His coming, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be changed. Standing and feel a change come on. The gray hair go out, the wrinkles fall away, be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, and we shall meet our loved ones first. There's mama, papa, there's my buddy. Oh, hallelujah, we're ready. And then together with them that are dead, we'll be caught up, and that'll be the rapture. All right, so you've got... You've got the first resurrection. All right, then you've got 40 days we're going to be here. All right, we're going to be here 40 days, like Jesus was, to see our loved ones. We'll be the ones that are born again and they're still alive. Will be the only ones that see the ones coming among us. Because listen to what Brother Branham says. He said, you'll know then, listen right here, questions and answers, 62:527. And what difference does it make if I'm living here or buried out yonder? For if I'm ready, already paid the penalty of death, if I am already paid the penalty of death, I'll be there before any man that's living. That's right. And he quotes 1 Thessalonians. The privilege of those that are dead will come forth first. That's how we know that it's at hand. See? Then we which are alive and remain will be changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye, and caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Alright? Jehovah Jireh. Is that the next one? Yep. Jehovah Jireh. And then remember, if we go before He comes, we will be up and in His presence or raised before the others are changed. In other words, the ones that dies and goes on from Paul all the way down. Now look. We were talking about this the other day. There must be dimensions inside of dimensions. Because when Brother Branham went across the curtain of time to the sixth dimension, he did not see Paul. He said, the angel said, you'll be gathered with your group. So there must be seven little compartments or dimensions in a dimension. Alright? But see, that's going to be a glorious time. They're having fun over there, sure. But see, they're not in their right to be conditioned. They want to be here. Brother Branham is over there wanting to be here, but he wants to see Paul. He wants to see Irenaeus. He wants to see Martin, but he wants to see the Lord Jesus more than anything. Alright? So now, we will be up in his presence or raised before the others are changed. Trumpet of the Lord sound, dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye, caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Look at the order of the resurrection. See, God knows that we long to see our loved ones. And if we got there to meet him first, we'd be looking around to see if mom or dad or the rest of them was there. But see, the Holy Spirit in his wisdom, we meet one another first, and then we go get there and sing Amazing Grace. That's when there's going to be a time of worship. So the dead in Christ is going to rise first. Then we're going to have a rapture. Alright? Everybody got that? Now listen. Let's read this last one because this is important. This is where people have a lot of trouble with it, but Brother Branham explains it clearly on Who Is This Melchizedek, 1965, 2:21. He's talking about Melchizedek meeting Abraham before he got back home after the battle. We meet Jesus in the air before we get home. Alright? Alright, now he comes down, said the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Perfect, all these types. Therefore, the theophany. If you have died and entered into that theophany, sixth dimension, now that's me saying that. Alright? What happens? The theophany comes to the earth to pick up the redeemed body. These in the sixth dimension raise up. Brother Branham's tomb will not be full of flesh. Because when Jesus resurrected, there was an empty tomb. So I believe when Brother Branham resurrects, he'll be in that body. All right? Now the ones that's died and burned up and all that will have to come back together. But the ones that are in the grave, I don't think his body will still be in the grave. His body will come out. There'll be a lot of empty tombs because he said we will raise like he raised. Or they will raise like he raised, right? Alright? The theophany comes to earth, in other words, the sixth dimension, that eternal life, that new birth that you have, comes to the earth to pick up the redeemed body. And if you're here in the air, now this is the alive and remain, okay? You take the body to meet the theophany. Now that's not going up yonder, but Jesus is King Theophany, right? That's who we meet in the air. But we don't go meet our theophany, we know it's right here with us, right? We just keep going on up, right? And if you're here in the air, you take the body to meet the theophany, there you are, and caught up to go to meet this Lord, to meet the Lord in the air, who is this Melchizedek, but God. I know this is old hat for some of you, but for some of you, you haven't heard it before. So, alright, now, we've got now 40 days. Why are we here 40 days? To see Sister Mary. To see Sister Hazel. All the ones downstairs, that's why that's downstairs. We believe they'll come and walk among us, and we'll see them. Alright? Then we'll go in a rapture. Then we'll be all be changed and caught up. That's what the Bible says. Alright? Alright, now we got a rapture. All born again goes in a rapture. Now that's Revelation 4:1 is a tie. But it's 1 Thessalonians 4:13-17. It's the whole of what I just read, not that one verse. And 1 Corinthians 15:52. That one's been read, but let's read it again. Because it says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In other words, if you die or if you live, you're going to be changed anyway. You got to be. In a moment, twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound. We know that's already happened. Dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and mortal must put on immortality. Because death has got to be swallowed up in victory, which is you and I, because we are his victory. All right, now, we're getting to where Brother Dale was in the Daniel 70 weeks. Because if you look at your Daniel 70 weeks chart, you'll see that we've covered from here. Look, we've covered from here out over to here. Now we're right there. Where the, see the raptured saints? Jews returning. we go in the rapture, and then after the rapture, we got two prophets. Excuse me. Mr. Gale, you got any questions so far? Really, if anybody got a question, I know this is fast and furious, but go back and listen to the tape. Press stop and pray. All right? Because this didn't come to me in one night either. All right? Now, you got a rapture. All the born-again believers go up. Sixth dimension emptied out. 40 days. We're here. We're walking around. Nothing can harm us. We don't care what happens. They can't shoot us. My heavens, if we're in a glorified body, what is it going to matter if we can... We don't have to find food. We don't have to find shelter. We can travel like a thought. Do what? I'm talking about the 40 days that we're here with the dead saints coming up. Right, exactly. Right. See, they can't find us then. That's where Brother Branham said we can all be gathered together. Remember he said we can be gathered in one place? Well, we gathered in Christ. Go ahead.
They might not see you and I. They might see you and I, but they won't see my grandmother or my grandfather.
Exactly. Now remember that. That's the point. All the dead that raise, when that sixth dimension comes into here, not everybody's going to see Sister Mary. Not everybody's going to see Sister Hazel.
Right.
Yeah. Only us that are born again. So you know. That's why Brother Branham said you'll know that the change is coming right there, because, and you'll know if you missed it. Because if you don't see them, you missed it. Well, that's, but you can walk through the wall, so why does it make any difference? And they're not going to hold you anyway. But look, church, at that time, I believe when the dead in Christ rise, redemption's over. I missed that part. Now, remember that. Kids and all of you that are standing on the fence, don't wait till that time, because it's over. The Gentile door is shut. You go in the fifth dimension. You go through this 3.5 years of tribulation, you're hunted down like dogs and you're killed. If you still profess what you are. Okay? But you still got to go in this fifth dimension of the lost sinner, because you didn't give your life to Christ. All right? I was thinking about this the other day. I thought, oh God, please don't let me miss it. Whatever it is, you ought to say the same thing. Whatever it is, come what may, don't miss it.
Right.
All right? Rapture, all born again. And hey, look, I walked like I was Superman out in the world too. All right? Most of us all did. All right? We walked like we was invincible. But we were dead while we were walking. We were a dead man walking, wasn't we, Brother Dean? Didn't know it. We could fight our way out of anything. But you can't fight your way out of hell. You cannot do it. Alright, so now we've got... Stop just a second. We've got a rapture. On this earth now, at the rapture, when it takes place, there is no redeemed saints. There is no one redeemable except the Jews. Has everybody got that? Because they're promised 3.5 more years, or the last 3.5 years, of that ministry of Jesus Christ. They're promised that. The Gentiles are promised nothing past the rapture. Everybody got that? So there's nothing for you. If you're left in the United States of America, you're in bad shape. And you got a foolish virgin in there, and you've got people like that, and we don't have time to get into it because we got to hurry, okay? We got two prophets, Revelations 11, 3 through 13. Now, as we go up, the devil comes down, but God takes this message and goes over two prophets and goes, like Brother Dale's been preaching, we know how, they go straight over to the Jews, and the two prophets start preaching the revelation of Jesus Christ to the people. Alright? But what we do is we have a 3.5 year wedding supper bride. See this? We're up here now. While all the chaos, listen, while all the tribulation is going on, the atomic bombs are exploding, over here, maybe, anyway. Because Brother Branham said that tribulation starts here and works its way over to Jerusalem, right? All right? So it starts over here. We get it first. The United States gets it first. So we get it, but it can't harm us. We're in that dimension right there. We are already, church, when that rapture takes place, we are body, spirit, and soul. The bride. Listen, the bride, body, spirit, and soul, we are already finished. We don't have to pick up another body. We don't have to go to a white throne judgment. We don't have to do anything except take a ride. Exactly. We're in the seventh dimension. Because we are now immortal. Immortality. Body, spirit, and soul. We are not leaving anything behind. We're all one. Alright? Got it? We're at the wedding supper. Now listen, to save time, I may not read it, but if I get to it, Brother Branham says this is not the marriage supper. Now sometimes he'll call it marriage supper, sometimes the Bible will call it marriage supper. But remember, we marry down here. We're married to Christ now. Okay? Then we go to a wedding supper. You get married and then you go to the reception, right? Okay? You don't go to the reception and then you get married. You get married, then you go to the reception. You get married down here, church, that's what I mean. You get married down here, look what you miss. You miss tribulation period. You miss Battle of Armageddon. Everybody on earth dies. You come back in the millennium. You go right over Gog and Magog. You stand in the second resurrection as a judge, not as being judged. You can forget about the lake of fire, and we sit in that holy city, the New Jerusalem. All right? So that's what you do. So listen, there's nothing on this earth. There's nothing. I was thinking about it today. There's nothing. Billions of dollars, wealth, fame, fortune, cars, money, women, popularity. There's nothing that'll compare with making it to that wedding supper. Nothing. Nothing. What did Paul say? Life, death. Well, there's a big old list of things. If I run over a few minutes, just forgive me. Okay? Because I want to get this through. Because I think right here is where there's a little confusion, and we'll make sure that we get this not corrected, but we'll get enlightened. But the two prophets step on the scene. God has gone from the Gentiles. Everybody got that? There's not another Gentile saved in that 3.5 years that the Lord Jesus, through the two prophets, preach to the Jews. Now, what do they prophesy? 3.5 years. Now, remember, it is, who is it? It is Moses and Elijah. The spirit of Moses and the spirit of Elijah. But let's go right here and I like to read the wedding supper first. On the wedding supper. I kind of skipped the rapture, but. Hey, look, church, if you're born again tonight, you get a free ride. Even to the rapture. Because you're going to come up. Okay? Wedding supper, proving His word. The bridegroom call will come right through this. When the Son of Man will come down and come in human flesh to unite the two together. The church has to be the Word. He is the Word, and the two unite together. And to do that, it'll take the manifestation of the revealing of the Son of Man, not a clergy. I don't know. Do you see what I mean? See, it's Son of Man, Jesus Christ, will come down in human flesh among us, make His Word so real that it'll unite the church and Him as one, the bride, and then she'll go home to the wedding supper. Amen. She's already united, see. We go to the wedding supper, not to the marriage. Because the marriage of the Lamb has come, but the rapture is going from the rapture to the wedding supper. When the Word here unites with the person, and they two become one, then what does it do then? It manifests the Son of Man again. Not the church theology, the Son of Man. The Word and the church becomes one. Whatever the Son of Man done, the church does the same. Right? Now that's a real good quote to keep. God's provided way, 1959, 04:15. So what man would not mix it up that these things that we are now so mixed up would happen? Jesus talked to people in parables. Now as this wedding supper, of course we all know that the wedding supper is in the future. That when all the redeemed of all ages comes up before the presence of God, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and stand there washed in His blood, wrapped in the robe of His righteousness, then we'll have that great wedding supper that will be spread across the skies. God's provided way, 1959. Continue, that was paragraph 18 or page 18. The next one is E26. I've got it written on there, so you've got these, you study them. The people say, the people that's got the Holy Spirit brag too much about it. We can't brag enough about it. It's something to crow about. We're invited to the wedding supper of the Son of God. It's worth walking on the street and testifying and telling every creature you come in contact with. What a good thing it is that you're invited to the wedding supper. God Almighty has selected you from the slums of the earth to attend the wedding supper of His beloved Son. Oh, what an invitation that is. It's worth 100 billion president suppers to attend that supper. Manifested Sons, 1965:18. I will not drink the fruit of the vine or eat no more until I eat it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. That's the wedding supper, because that's what we're going to do. We're going to take communion. Remember when He left in the upper room? He said he didn't eat or drink right there. He said, I won't do it anymore till I come into the kingdom. The wedding supper, for the 3.5 years the Antichrist finishes up his reign. Now listen, this is going to bring in with what's been preached. The Antichrist finishes up his reign, 3.5 years. The whole world is destroyed. The Jews are called out. Joseph makes himself known to the Gentiles. He said Gentiles, but he said, or to the Jews. Remember when Joseph made himself known to his brethren, there wasn't one Gentile present. Okay? All right, so there's that. We're at the wedding supper. But while we're at the wedding supper, something's going on the earth. Because look, time continues on. Remember, time is not broken until, all in all, when the new city comes down, that's when eternity, time and eternity blends together. Because we're still in time, even in the millennium. Because it's 1,000 years. Okay? We got to live 360-day years now, not 365. 360 days. Right? But the two prophets, turn to Revelation 11:3. We'll stay in the book of Revelations for a minute. 11:3, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. That's 3.5 years of the prophetic calendar. All right? They have power, verse 6, to shut up heaven, which is Elijah and Moses, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. What's the first thing Elijah done? Stomps out and says it'll not rain for 3.5 years till I say so. Okay? So he knows how to do that. And have power over water to turn into blood. Now, who's the one that did that in the Bible? Moses turned the whole Nile River into blood. All right? And to smite the earth with all plagues and often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, shall make war against them, and overcome them and kill them. That's right here. If you've got this right here, look. That's right here. He breaks his covenant in the midst of the week. 3.5 years right here. Middle of the week, Armageddon, but he's got to break the covenant first. Two prophets preach for 3.5 years. They call out 12,000 out of every tribe of 12. That's where you get your 144,000. Okay? You got that? Mr. Gale, you got it? You can go back. You can go back. I mean, you can go back and... I'm doing this for everybody, but you can go back and listen. But they'll kill them. In verse 8, this is where that I say it dumb. Somebody say that they don't die. The Bible says right here plain, verse 8. Verse 7 says they kill them. And their dead bodies lay in the street of the great city where the Lord was crucified, which is Jerusalem. All right, and they'll see their dead bodies 3.5 days. The same amount of time they prophesy, they're going to lay in the street. CNN's going to be there. Now, how in the world? And they of the people and kindred and tongue and nations shall see them. That could only happen in television. This day. CNN will be there. CBS, ABC, NBC. I know, but that's what's going to happen. And they'll not suffer their dead bodies to be put in a grave. And they that dwell upon the earth will rejoice and make merry and send gifts one to another. See, that's what happened way back. When they conquer a nation, you'd send gifts to all the kings. That's what they're doing. One to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. And after 3.5 days, the Spirit of life entered men into them, and they stood upon their feet. And great fear fell upon them which saw them. Now listen, you take a natural country, a nation of countries, having a celebration, and at the 3.5 days, that camera's still on them two dead prophets. And all of a sudden, they stand up. They know then something finna happen. Because it says, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying, come up hither, and they ascended up to heaven in the cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Same hour there was a great earthquake. This is what Daddy was talking about the other day. 10th part of the city fell and were slain 7,000. So don't get into all that, you know, well, has it got to be this, got to be that. But look, the second woe is past, third woe comes quickly. But remember one thing. When they raise the 144,000, the prophet said, they're killed too, so there's a resurrection there. Because they receive, let's read it right here, 10 virgins. The Jews will receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and there'll be a revival there that'll stop the heavens in the days it don't rain. They'll do all kinds of signs and miracles. Finally, the Roman hierarchy, the Jews has the wealth of the world. Roman Catholic Church will break his agreement with the Jews after this thing is over. The treaty they got signed between them, in parentheses. He'll go down there, and then when God will stand like he did in the old days and fight for Israel, they'll finally kill these two prophets, and they'll lay in the streets. They'll spit on them like they used, like they did those Pentecostal ministers and his wife and children a few weeks ago. Little belly swelled out, big as everything, and the children, where they walk by and spit on them. Let them lay in the hot sun for 3 or 4 days without burying them. They'll do the same thing. The Bible said so. They'll do the same thing right there. And when they do that, after 3 days, laying dead, Spirit of life will come into those two prophets. They'll raise up and ascend into glory. And about that time, the fireworks start. That's the end time. That's when she's over. Now, out of the 70 weeks of Daniel book, 1961, now these two prophets, what will they do? It's Moses and Elijah. They'll rise on the scene. They'll tell the Jews their mistake. And out of that Jewish bunch, there'll be now 144,000. God will call these prophets. What is it? Spirit of Elijah off of this Gentile church. Listen. The Spirit of Elijah off of this Gentile church will just continue right on into that Jewish church. Go right on in and call Moses with him. Hallelujah. You see it? And he'll preach the same message of Pentecost to those Jews that they rejected the Messiah. You see, it'll be the same Pentecostal message that these Jews will preach right over to them. And they'll hate those Jews so bad they'll kill them. And they're hated by all the nations and in the midst of the week, because they'd raised up a great power, 144,000. They had the Holy Ghost. And brother, you talk about doing miracles. They did them. They stopped heavens. It didn't rain. They gave plagues. Our God is a terrible God when He's angry. But remember, that's over in the 70th week, and the church is in glory. The wedding supper is going on. All right, so He places that right in line. All right? What it takes to overcome all unbelief. I think I got that one. No, I didn't. I'm not going to read that one. Oh, no, that's the tribulation period. All right? So now, right here, middle of the week is Armageddon. Tribulation's going on. Everybody got that? All right? But now look. During the time that those prophets are prophesying, there is a tribulation going on. Alright? What it takes to overcome all unbelief. Alright? We're still right here. We're still with the two prophets. See, 3.5 years to the Jews, but tribulation period to the rest of the world. Everybody got that? We're up here. We've already read that. We know where we're at. Then we got to have 3.5 years to the Jews during that tribulation period. We're waiting, expecting Him to leave. This is what it takes to overcome all unbelief. 1967:29. Expecting Him to leave glory someday, to return to the earth, to resurrect the dead, translate those that are living into a glorified body, to be raptured in the sky, to live with Him for the space of 3.5 years during the time of the tribulation period. Now, is that clear? I'm asking you that. And to return back to a purified earth, to live 1,000 years here on earth with His church, forever be with Him, then He sets on the throne of David. All right? Now, Revelation chapter 4, Throne of Mercy, 1961. Now, these tribulation period saints that come up and went through great tribulation, the church will not go through the tribulation. You see, they're already in glory. And here's the tribulation saints, sanctified ones, that had being its mind, listen, being its mind and your fault, they had never heard the word. If they heard it and rejected it, they went to hell. They was cast into outer darkness because they rejected the word. But if they would never heard it, God's just, tribulation period comes to them. That's on Revelation, Jesus Christ, Throne of Mercy. You've got it right there. All right. Look at all these I've got written down. We'll save time. It's a few minutes till 9. But look on the first seal, during the tribulation period. That's what I want you to notice. A little thing I dropped in here. During the tribulation period, after the bride has been called out, church goes through the tribulation period. Now that's church nominal. That's people without the new birth. Everybody got that? They go through the tribulation period. Because they have to be cleansed. We're cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the new birth that's in our soul. Just as eternal as God is. Not a smell of sin, not a blackness, nowhere. But if you're not born again tonight, you've got blackness in your soul. You're lost. You're on your way to hell. Alright? That's just plain as you can be, but that's the way it is. Alright? Where am I at? Alright, tribulation period. 144,000 is called by the two witnesses of Revelation 11. Now look, they'll prophesy 1,200 threescore days in sackcloth. That's exactly 3.5 years. Alright? Now he talks about it in the fourth seal, but I didn't write it down. Now on questions and answers, 1964:8:23. Those of you who get the tape, we'll send all this off and you can see. But let me read this first. Now listen, here's the key. I'm going to read this one, then we'll move on. The church, the lukewarm, that anything outside of the elected bride will go through the tribulation period. They will not raise in the first resurrection. The rest of the dead live not for 1,000 years. Just the foreordained, predestinated elect bride, God's own election. Who is it, Brother Branham? I don't know. I can't tell you who it is. But I know it's going to be there. I know it's going to be there because the Lord said it would. They are the ones that will go up from the tribulation, but the rest of them will go through the tribulation, go down, and everything will be killed before the millennium. All right, now there's your quote. Everything will be killed before the millennium. Then the righteous shall come out in the millennium and live 1,000 years. That's on your questions and answers, 1964:08-23. All right? Now, humble thyself. Across the nations will come. Those that are dead in Christ will rise first. The rapture will take place. Church will be taken home. Then the tribulation will set in, and oh my, we don't want to be here during that time. I don't want to be here in the tribulation. No. God forbid that any of us would ever be here during that time. He that's filthy, filthy still. Holy, holy still. Righteous, righteous still. The Lamb had come forth with His book of redemption, and the bride has been taken out. Those who turned it down has to go through the tribulation period. Has everybody got that? So here we are. Save time. We're going to have right here, the two witnesses are going to be killed. 144,000 killed. Rapture to the Jews. Got that? They go up. Then there's nothing left on this earth but sinners for the Battle of Armageddon. All right? Now the Battle of Armageddon, I think I got one. I got 70 weeks of Daniel somewhere there. Oh, here we go. I think I left all that out for time. I did. Alright. But look, in Revelation 19, remember, at the Battle of Armageddon, Brother Branham said, all die. Is that right? All die at the Battle of Armageddon. All on earth die. So they don't have another dimension to go to except that lost dimension. Fifth dimension. Alright? That's where they go. Alright? Everybody's left. Fills up that dimension. Stays there for 1,000 years. Alright? They don't come back up until the 1,000 years is over. But now Revelation 19 is us riding back into the millennium. We come back down. And see, I've got a little space of time between the Battle of Armageddon and us coming back down is the last part of this right here where Brother Brown says, great tribulation period, 3.5 years. That takes you over into the millennium for us, for them to build a temple. Listen, Armageddon's going to be termination of forces. There's going to be atomic bombs. That's when everybody starts pushing the button. If you watched, what's the name? Apocalypse Now or something like that. When the presidents in the state, they say start pushing buttons. In other words, here it comes. Everybody starts pushing buttons and this whole world is annihilated. Now the core, everything's still here. But it's burnt off with man-made fire this time. Alright, you got it? This is man-made fire. God's gonna burn it with a holy fire at Gog and Magog. We're gonna find that out in just a second. If you'll bear with me just about 10 more minutes. But right here, Battle of Armageddon, middle of the week, the beast he breaks his covenant, alright? He breaks the covenant, he kills the Jews, they go up in the rapture, then you've got 3.5 more years of the time left of the second half of the 70th week that'll take you into the millennium where Brother Dale showed you in Daniel 9:24, where he finishes transgression, end of sin, All that happens in that last half of that week, because it has to go over into the millennium. We have already proved that, so we don't have to prove it again. I think it's time to where Brother Branham said God is obligated to say something one time. He's not obligated to say it again. So we should know that if the ministry tells us something, and it's right in our heart, and it's right by the word, and it's right by the prophet's message, we shouldn't have to hear it again. It should be stapled in our mind, and it should be something that we go with, make it a part of ourselves, and move on. Because I think a lot of times we don't believe a lot of things, and that makes us unbelievers. But we come back, Revelation 19. Now we come down with Jesus riding into the millennium, Revelation 19, read the chapter for yourself. But turn to Revelation 20 and 1. And now we're going to end it up right here. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And what did Brother Brown say that chain was? A chain of circumstances, remember? Look right here one time. Right here, in this part right here, there's no sinners nowhere. They're all down here in the fifth dimension, dead. That's why Satan ain't got a place to work. He's got to have permitted power. You give him the power. And when all the power in heaven and earth has been given to us, the bride, with Jesus Christ, we come back in the millennium and he ain't got anything to work in. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. Now, an hour and a half ago, that's what we started on. A millennium is to show that we can live, man can live past 1,000 years, and the sin curse be over with. Alright? He must be loosed. After that, he must be loosed a little season. Alright? Now, what is the little season? He's to gather his people together. I've got one quote where Brother Branham talks about Gog and Magog. Alright, listen, what he says right here. I'll read it to you. Questions and answers on the seals, 1963-324. Would you explain how Satan is bound 1,000 years being loosed for the battle of Revelation 28? That is not the battle of Armageddon, Brother Branham says. The battle of Armageddon takes place on this side, when the tribulation period is ended. Now that ought to answer all your questions, show where the week ends, not at the tribulation period, but you got 3.5 more years after that. Alright? Now, what relation does this have with the battle of Gog and Magog? None. One is on this side, one is on this 1,000 years, and the other is at the end of the 1,000 years. Everybody got that? First part, Battle of Armageddon over here. Battle of Gog and Magog is over on the other side. Alright? As mentioned in the fourth seal, will Gog and Magog be gathered from people on the new earth? Here's his answer. Satan was loosed out of his prison and went to gather all the people, the wicked, to bring them to this place, and God rained fire and brimstone out of heaven, and they were consumed. See, it's two battles all together. Alright, got that? Two different battles. Gog and Magog is God's holy fire burning off the earth. The first one is man-made fire, which is atomic power. Alright? Verse 4. Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. Alright? And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. Now, we're still in the millennium, alright? And worshiped the beast, neither the image, neither received his mark upon their forehead or in their hand. Alright? Now, those only people are the ones that are not deceived, because one that's deceived takes the mark of the beast. Everybody got that? So these people did not, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again, right down here, fifth dimension, did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. All right, back over here. First, he flips back over to the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and reign with him 1,000 years. We reign with him 1,000 years, right? Now look, verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is the sands of the sea. Now, somewhere in there, this is either part of the second resurrection or somewhere in there close. He's trying to get all of his power back together, right? And shall go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth. Remember now, church, back up. We're at 360 days. The earth's back up straight, right? The atomic blows it back up right. Something, atomic knocked it off, atomic's got to bring it back. God is always right. Whatever causes the fall, God uses that same way and brings it back. Because through the womb, through the womb was the fall. Through the womb, the fall was destroyed. Jesus Christ, through virgin birth. Right? So whatever the devil uses to destroy, God uses and brings it right back to life. Right? Now look. And they went up on the breath of the earth. Now, he's not talking about the sinners. He's talking about us. Because Brother Branham said one time, we'll go up on the outer rim of the earth and wait. Because he's fixing to do something right here. See, look. And they went up on the breath of the earth, verse 9, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. Now, don't ask me about that. I don't understand that. But they're dumped in back over a few more chapters. They're dumped in there, and we know who that is. So there's something that's going on there that I don't know. But they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, that is aeon, a space of time, forever and ever, not for an eternity. All right? So that's why it goes for a time, and then it goes out of existence. So that's a terrible thing, because look, when you go into the lake of fire, you're heard from no more. It's just like you never existed. Verse 11. All right. Here we got Gog and Magog, Revelations 28 and 9. Second resurrection, all that happens right there together. But Revelations 20:11, and we'll finish right here. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from those faces of the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open. Now, remember, that's not two books. That's book inside of a book. Books in books. Okay? A book, books in a book. All right? And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged, because remember, we're not judged. The Lamb's, the eternal protection of the Lamb's book of life, that's what you and I are in, and that goes and stays with us. It's not on a page anymore. That's what I'm telling you. If it stays on this page, we're in trouble. But if this is lived by you and I, this is the book. You and I are the book. The living book. Alright? They were judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their works. Now remember, the grace of Jesus Christ is not our works. So that's not us. Because people will be, cup of water in my name, and all those things like that. And the sea gave up the dead, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Right? So that's where you got right here. White throne judgment. We judge. All right, Matthew 25, if you want to read it, we're not going to go to it, but the Bible says they will be judged as sheep. Not sheep, we're sheep, but as sheep and goats. Because what the shepherd does is, when you come down the trough in the natural, when the sheep and the goats come down the trough, the shepherd stands here and he puts the sheep over here, and then he separates the sheep and the goats. He separates them like this. Well, that's what's happening to White Throne Judgment. They're walking up here to be judged, and he's putting them in as sheep and kicking them out as goats. All right? Because that's when the people are going to stand and say, have I not preached the gospel in your name? Have I not done mighty works? But he said, depart from me, I never knew you. Well, that's the goat part. All right? That's a sad, sad situation. All right? But now, questions and answers. Let's read this about White Throne, and we'll quit. Because the future home is inside of you, and we ought to know that it's being built now. Now Jesus came with 10,000 times 10,000 of saints, and then the judgment was set. Hear thee all around a white throne judgment as we went through the scriptures. And the books were open, and another book was open, which was the book of life. And those in the rapture was judging them. those that were in the rapture was judging them. That means us. Is that right? Them had done went home and received their glorified bodies and lived through the millennium, was here in the white throne judgment judging those. And he said he would separate the sheep from the goats. Alright, got that? Only got two and then we'll be done on that. Questions and answers, 1961. Let's see, Brother Branham. What happens to the people that are considered the sleeping virgin when they are judged at the judgment? Well, the sleeping virgin will be saved, of course. She'll be saved at the judgment. She'll never be the bride. She'll be a saved group of people that will come in the judgment that will not be included in the bride. But as long as they are virgins, they are before God. See, they are to be saved. He separates. There'll be the sheep on his right side, and the unsaved will be the goats on his left at the great white throne judgment. All right. Questions and answers, 1962, 527. And here's another one. What manner of body will the wicked have in the last resurrection at the great white throne judgment? That sinner will rise in the resurrection to be judged in the body that he has committed the sin in. See, he'll have to stand the judgment in resurrection. Resurrection is not replacement. It's bringing up that went down. When Jesus raised from the dead, he was the same body that went down. Boy, now that ought to kick somebody in the teeth about getting a new body. He raised in that same kind of a body. We rise in the same body we go down in. I'm quoting the prophet. Right? It's a resurrection, not a replacement. Now the Bible says that we will be judged according to the sins done in the body. And when the wicked rise, he'll be judged in the same body he sinned in. Same thing. Alright, so we got a judgment we got to go through. I didn't go through that. But we have to give an account of what we do here. Even being bride. Alright? Now here we are. Goats are gone. Sheep is in. Future home. If you'll read Isaiah 64 and 65 and read Revelations 21 and 22, the whole chapter, both of them, that'll tell you what we're going to as a future home. A beautiful place. And I went and pulled off, I've got that much of the future home that I run off that we're not going to have time because it's 9:15 and I am sorry. I usually don't do this. Do what? I mean, I really don't do that, but I try not to anyway. But there's a lot to cover. Hey, we went through about 6,000 years. But he that overcometh, let me read chapter 21, verse 7. I like verse 3, though. And I, John, saw the holy city, verse 2, the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, what's going to happen? At the white throne judgment, after everybody's been separated, the goats are gone. You can't even remember them. We don't remember those anymore. I'm sorry if it's not my brother, because we're all here. But if it's somebody, you know, you just got to deal with it. Because the Bible says the former things will pass away. So you'll not remember that. Brother Brown said it wouldn't be just for us to be standing in the future home having a good time and knowing that somebody's burning in a lake of fire over there. Okay, so we won't remember that. But that's what's going to happen. Those people will just absolutely vanish like they never happened. They come to this earth. A lot of people is just on this earth just to prove who you are. Ain't that right? There's a lot of people walking on this earth that's nothing but just ashes. And that's the truth. They have no soul. Sure, they got a soul. And they got to be judged. And I just read. But they are put here just to prove you. Isn't that something? But it's their choice. And I couldn't for a long time realize if God give them 1 million years, told so-and-so, told Adolf Hitler, you can live for 1 million years, he knew Adolf Hitler, if he lived for 1 million years or 1 year, Sister Gail, he'd never accept Jesus Christ. That's just something you got to understand and accept. All right? Verse 3. Do what? Go ahead. That's right. You got to have a testimony. And their testimony is not that. And I heard a great voice out of heaven. This is 21 verse 3. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these things are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst a fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh. Now remember, there's seven overcomings through Revelations 1, 2, and 3. This is number 8. This is when we get into eternity. Right? He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Not just a few. Not just a millennium now. Not just a part of here. We have all things. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And then you go on over and you read and you see pure waters, and remember the city. Brother Branham explained the city. That's why the city is 1,500 miles square, the breadth and the height. If the city was standing straight up 1,500 miles, or the wall, you couldn't see inside. That's why that he made the pyramid. Because you got 1,500 miles. If you went from here to, I think he said from here to like Missouri, it's 1,500 miles, or Kansas. If you put that point right there and that point from where I'm standing to Kansas City, Missouri, say, and that's 1,500 miles at a slant, you got to be able to see, because remember the Lamb, there's no temple anymore. So that proves there was a temple in the millennium. So it says in Revelation 21, verse 22, And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And where is it at? It's on top of that city, on top of Mount Zion. You've got to be able to see that. So from 1,500 miles from right here to Kansas City, Missouri, all the way around, Brother Danny, square. It's a squared city, 1,500 miles. At a slant, I can see the top of the city. But if it's 1,500 miles this way, you couldn't see. But the Bible says the walls are 200 foot high. Well, even at 200 foot high, you can stand right here, and if it's 1,500 miles at a slant, you can still see the top of the city. We needed a prophet, church, to come and tell us these things. But now by faith we can see him just like he did. I detest the people that think that he's got to come back and tell us something. He's preached us all the way to the all in all. Right here, he's preached us into eternity. He gave us an 8-day holy convocation. Read the future home, he'll explain it. Brother David, he's already put us in a future home. What else do we need? We need to get him up out of the ground. Let's stand. I tell you what, let's don't even sing a song. Let's just go ahead and anybody have a let's just if you got a request, lift up your hand. Well, I know we all have unspoken requests. If you're real sick, we'll pray for you. If not, it's 9:20. I know you got to go to work in the morning because I got to get up at 5 o'clock and go to work too. And my voice is about shot, so we won't sing. And I lift my voice to know that God would come down and tell us this great mystery and give it to us. Let us see it and know what's going to happen. So now, Brother Danny, we know every move the devil makes. Brother Dean, if you knew every move that a man made before he made it, you'd whip him every time. And that's what God's done. He's given us every move before the devil even makes it. And he's told us where we're going. But tonight, church, if you're not born again, I adjure you in the name of Jesus Christ, get born again. Amen. Don't eat, don't sleep, don't do anything until you get God in your soul. Because we're not promised tomorrow. We might leave this earth tonight. Rejoice, take joy, my King. In what you hear, may it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. And I hope that's what it's been. I hope it's been a sweet sound and it's not been a bore. But get the tape and listen to it. I don't promote myself. You know that. I don't do that. I'm nothing. I had to sit down and study and get this too from God. He didn't just bring it to me and throw it on the doorstep. I had to find it. And that's what you got to do. You got to find it yourself. You got to have God for yourself in your own life. Sure, it takes the foolishness of preaching to get there. But redemption from Adam to the future home, that's what God's done for us. Brother Donnie, we're there for the whole ride. He never has one time in there. He never let the bride go. He's been there right with her the whole time, giving her eternal life, and you know what? Talking to her, giving us the love letter. This is the in-between the lines we were talking about the other day. Nobody could have brought this but a prophet that found the mind of God and know that, that what you got in your hand, that was what God stood in eternity and had right up here. Now, I believe that. I believe God stood in eternity and had what I'm telling you tonight. He had that, Brother Al, right there in his mind. And he was just waiting for it to unfold. He's patient. He don't even have a tomorrow. Eternity is always today. So he's just waiting for time to blend right into eternity. For somebody like Danny Fountain to be running around in the world, come back, me, all the others, my children, my son, my daughter, he's waiting on them patiently, giving grace, giving us grace. And I thank God for grace, don't you? Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight we pray that you would soften the people tonight, Lord, as they travel home. Lord, just make the bed soft tonight and make the sleep well, and Lord, make their getting up and going to work, Lord, may it be a pleasure tomorrow morning, Lord. Let it be your soothing Holy Spirit, Lord. Come down and even be with the bosses, Lord, and the ones that you work with, that they'll all be calm and that everything will be all right, Lord, because we took more time than we needed to, Father. But we wanted to get this out and get it to where we'll know, Lord, the next move that's being made, Lord. We want to see those. We want to see those that are in the grave. We want to see them here, Lord. But you know what it is? It's our slothfulness and our unbelief that's keeping them there. Lord Jesus, we believe in you, prophet, Lord. But we believe you're the only true prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you never left the place. You're still here, Lord. We thank you for the ministry here, Lord. We thank you for the pastor, Lord, and the preachers that go out among the people and try to deliver this message, Lord, that'll get a people ready for you so that we can one day stand where you said to your prophet that it'll come through this, what? This voice in the final age is your bride. You saved the best for last, Lord, the cream of the crop. We'll get to sit in that future home with you, Lord, and eat all manner of fruits, Lord, and the changing of the fruit, Lord, of 12 months, we'll be eating the fruit, Lord. We won't have to leave the city unless we want to. But the ones that are outside will have to come in and out, and they'll have to leave, Lord, because they can't stand in your presence like your bride. Your children, Lord, that's who we are. Lord, I know that you're my Father, and you're the only one true and living God. Just be with each one, Lord, as we go home. Sanctify us and cleanse us, Lord, till we come back. Be with us and keep us safe this weekend, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.